Luke. जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, 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 गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरद, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदधारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानन्दन यमुनतीरवनचारी, यमुनतीरवन यमुनतीरवनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदधारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदधारी, यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Privrajakacharya Stotra Sata Shri Srimadis Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Viranta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Iskand BBT Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila AC Bhakti Viranta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premse Koho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Tulasi Maharani Ki Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Yuga Dharma Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Ki Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Mai Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, Text 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat Nashta Preshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Rutam Ashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki So please repeat after me. Nisha Mukheshu Khadyotas Tamasa Bhanti Na Grahaha Yata Papena Pashanda Na Hi Vedaha Kalau Yuge Nisha Mukheshu Khadyotas Tamasa bhanti na graha Yata papena pashanda Nahi vedaha kalau yuge Nisha mukheshu khadyotas Tamasa bhanti na graha Yata papena pashanda Nahi Veda Kalau Yuge Nishamukheshu Kadyotas Tamasa Bhanti Nagraha Yata Papena Pashanda Nahi Veda Kalau Yuge Nishamukheshu Khadyotas Tamasa मुकेशु कद्योतास ग्रह अपापे न पाशंद निशामुखेषु during the moments of evening twilight. Kadyotaha, the glowworms. Tamasa, because of the darkness. Bhanti, shine. Na, not. Graha, the planet. Yata, as. Papena, because of sinful activities. Pashandaha, atheistic doctrines. Na, and not. He, certainly. Vedaha, the Vedas. Kalau Yuge, in the age of Kali. Translation, in the evening twilight, during the rainy season, the darkness allowed the glowworms, but not the stars, to shine forth. Just as in the age of Kali, the predominance of sinful activities allows atheistic doctrines to overshadow the true knowledge of the Vedas. Please repeat, in the evening twilight, during the rainy season, the darkness allowed the glowworms, but not the stars, to shine forth. Just as in the age of Kali, the predominance of sinful activities allows atheistic doctrines to overshadow the true knowledge of the Vedas. Purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. Now this part is from Prabhupada. During the rainy season, in the evening, there are many glowworms visible about the tops of trees, hither and thither, and they glitter just like lights. But the luminaries of the sky, the stars and the moon, are not visible. Similarly, in the age of Kali, persons who are atheists or miscreants become very prominently visible. Whereas persons who are actually following the Vedic principles for spiritual emancipation are practically obscured. This age, Kali Yuga, is compared to the cloudy season of the living entities. In this age, real knowledge is covered by the influence of the material advancement of civilization. The cheap mental speculators, atheists, and manufacturers of so-called religious principles become prominent like the glowworms. Whereas persons strictly following the Vedic principles or scriptural injunctions become covered by the clouds of this age. People should learn to take advantage of the actual luminaries of the sky, the sun, moon, and stars, instead of the glowworms' light. Actually, the glowworms cannot give any light in the darkness of night. As clouds sometimes clear, even in the rainy season, and the moon, stars, and sun become visible, so even in this Kali Yuga, there are sometimes advantages. The Vedic movement of Lord Chaitanya, the distribution of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, is understood in this way. People seriously anxious to find real life should take advantage of this movement instead of looking toward
the so-called light of mental speculators and atheists. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swahyam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitangscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshishu Nivari Paschate Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitai Kripabde Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dhaine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Prema Adhya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Kuruna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapasadanta Dvanta Harine Namo Mahavadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurutuse Namaha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this chapter in the Bhagavatam is describing Sri Vrindavan Dham in both the rainy season and the autumn. I've spent the last 18 years in Sri Vrindavan Dham by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And of all the seasons in Vrindavan, the rainy season is my favorite. My all-time favorite is the rainy season. It's very special. It happens between July and September. Especially after such intense heat. The summer season in Vrindavan is very intense. We get up to 120 degrees Fahrenheit, almost 50 Celsius. And when the rain comes, it's such a relief. And, you know, we get some relief from the sun. The weather, the temperature goes down. Instead of the dryness, you get some more wetness, some humidity. Of course, later on it becomes extremely humid also. So during Janmashtami time, you'll be sweating like anything. And then gradually as the autumn comes, after rainy season, because after the rainy season, the autumn comes. So by that time, less rain is there, it becomes more dry, and then the holy month of Kartik approaches, which is starting in a few days actually. So this is a very appropriate chapter for us right now, at this time especially. One thing is this verse and purport reminds me of something that I have studied in the books of our acharyas, particularly Sri Harinam Chintamani by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He explains how you have the sun, right? And then sometimes the clouds will come and block the sunlight, the rays of the sun, and you'll get less effect of the sun, less heat, less light. So in this way, he gives this analogy, Srila Haridas Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They give this analogy that the holy name, the pure holy name, is like the sun. Shuddhanam is the sun. And there are clouds of anarthas and mists of ignorance that sometimes cover the living entity from getting the full effect of the holy name. So this happens unless and until we come to the platform of chanting purely Shuddhanam. This is there, at least to some degree. So there's a mist of ignorance, which is of four types. And that's technically called Tattva Vibhrama. So there are four types of Tattva Vibhrama. Tattva Vibhrama means ignorance of tattva, certain tattvas, you know, ignorance, not knowing, not having knowledge of four things. Knowledge of Krishna and his position, Bhagavat Tattva, basically. Not understanding properly how the material energy works and what its position is. Jiva Tattva, ignorance of Jiva Tattva, not understanding, you know, our position, our actual position in relation to Krishna and the material energy. And Sadhana Sadhya Tattva Vibhrama, ignorance of the process of devotional service and the goal of devotional service. The process, how to get there, and what is the goal. So, ignorance of these four things fall under the category of Tattva Vibhrama, and that's considered to be the mist of ignorance. And then you have the clouds of anarthas. The clouds of anarthas are of three types. Three types of clouds are there. One of them is called Asatrishna. Asatrishna means thirst for material enjoyment, thirst for material objects to enjoy. And, you know, that may be, you know, objects on this planet, in this life, or, you know, aspiring for enjoyment in the next life, in the heavenly planets. Then the the next category of clouds of anarthas is called Hriday Dorbalya, which means weakness of the heart. So these things, now it becomes a little more subtle, these things that may be there, such as envy of others, envy of other devotees' progress, the tendency to be deceitful, deceiving, the cheating propensity, and so on. These subtle, weird things, tendencies that are in the heart, these are weaknesses of the heart, Hriday Dorbalya. And the third cloud of anarthas are called aparad, offenses, of which there are primarily four types. There's, of course, Vaishnava aparad, which is the most dangerous. Then there's also Jiva aparad. We shouldn't commit offenses to any living entity, actually, not just devotees. Vaishnava aparad, Jiva aparad, Seva aparad, of which there are 64 mentioned in various scriptures. You can find it in Nectar of Devotion. And Nama aparad. And you can also add Dhamma aparad also. There's seven offenses to the Holy Dhamma. So Nama aparad is there. It's very dangerous. There are 10 offenses against the chanting of the Holy Name, which are recited every morning. So these three different types of clouds of anarthas, they cover us from receiving the full effect of the sun of the Holy Name. And when that happens, When that happens, the glowworms of material sense objects becomes very prominent. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here how in the rainy season it's cloudy. At night, normally you'll see the luminaries like the moon, the stars, you know, so some brightness is coming. Even in the daytime also, sometimes it'll be completely cloudy. But this is mostly referring to nighttime during the darkness. So similar type of principle. So the luminaries are covered by the clouds and you don't see them. Rather, what's prominent, the prominent light that's coming, are the glowworms. Now he's also explaining how in Kali Yuga, this situation is considered to be like Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, those who are pure practitioners and preachers of the Vedic scriptures are many times obscured. And those who are atheists, that have atheistic doctrines, are very prominent. You can see this happening all over the world. Luckily, I think Russia has been, used to be under that situation, but now is saved. Now there's so many devotees in Russia. Before it was, you know, communist government, and devotees had to do everything undercover. Sometimes they were getting prosecuted and different things. So that's like basically the biggest country in the world, I think, right? Russia, isn't it? It's huge. It takes up a huge space on this planet. And what was prominent there at that time? All the way up until, what was it, 1989 or something? All the way up until 1989-ish. You know, this prominence of atheism was there. You know. Government says, we are God. There is no God. Right? So, you know, that was prominent. And also in China, even now, there's a similar situation. Devotees have to do everything very much undercover. There are, I saw in Los Angeles, there were some protests being made. People were protesting in public that these very peaceful, of course they're not exactly followers of the Vedas, but at least, you know, they're doing something right. Just peaceful meditators were being prosecuted by the Chinese government. Falun Gong or whatever. Yeah, they were being prosecuted, and they were showing all these, you know, photos of, you know, people all bloody and, you know, in jail and all kinds of stuff. So this is there. And China is also a huge country, you know, it's taking up a mass of this planet. And many places, you can't really preach Krishna consciousness freely. You can't just go out there on the street and do Harinam Sankirtan. You know, in many Muslim countries, you know, if you try to do that, they, you know, will cut your head off. You know, but just as we see how the country of Russia has become liberated from that situation, and after that so many devotees just, you know, blew up out of nowhere practically. You'll see devotees from Russia all over the place. So this is, you know, Lord Chaitanya's prediction coming into play gradually. So it'll happen. You know, Pritiviche Acharadi Nagaradi Gram. So, you know, in every town and village, the holy name will be chanted. That's his prediction. So it's happening gradually, slowly but surely. More and more places are becoming purified by the presence of the pure followers of the Vedic knowledge. Those clouds are being evaporated, moved aside, and ISKCON and other Gaudiya Vaishnav authorized groups are being more and more prominent. In the purport, you know, he says that the Vedic movement of Lord Chaitanya, the distribution of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is understood in this way. It's understood that as the clouds become clear, sometimes they clear up. As the clouds sometimes clear, even in the rainy season, the moon, stars, and sun become visible. So even in this Kali Yuga, there are sometimes advantages. So we can practically see that happening. Another significant thing about this chapter is that it's demonstrating how, it's portraying how Sri Vrindavan Dham is Guru. Vrindavan is Guru, actually. How? Because Srila Prabhupada explains that, first of all, Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan Dham, is an expansion of Lord Balaram. Vrindavan is Balaram. Lord Balaram expands himself as Krishna's paraphernalia, and that includes his dham. So there's a very high tattva there regarding this. And what happens is, have you ever wondered why, like, after the Rasa Leela and, you know, all these pastimes are going on in Vrindavan, how, you know, Krishna can just, you know, go back home so quickly? In the present Boma Vrindavan manifestation on this planet, it takes about an hour to get from Vrindavan to Nandagram. Nandagam. So how does he make it there so quick? Obviously, okay, he's Krishna, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead, but, you know, of course, playing the part as a how does he get there so quickly? Of course he can do it. But what happens is, during the daytime, the lotus flower, Vrindavan Dham is compared to be like a lotus flower. And during the day, lotus flowers open up. They're open, so they're wide. So there's a lot of space for Krishna to tend his cows everywhere. 900,000 cows Nanda Maharaj has. Think about that. That's a lot of cows. 900,000 cows. So that space is being utilized when the lotus flower opens up, and at night time the lotus closes. So everything is more closer together. So before the sun rises and everything starts to open up again, the lotus of Vrindavan Dham opens up. So Krishna goes back to his place very quickly. So this is the function of Lord Balaram. He's assisting Krishna's pastimes in this way. And he's Adi Guru. Lord Balaram is Adi Guru. He's considered to be the original spiritual master. And we can see here practically how in each verse, Sri Vrindavan Dham is teaching something, you know, by its environment, by the way that things happen, by the way that things change according to the season. This is one example here. It's demonstrating something. There's a deeper meaning to it. You know, rainy season, everything's covered, you know, glowworms are showing. What does that mean? There's a meaning there. That means that in Kali Yuga, the age of darkness, instead of the, you know, authorized practitioners of Vedic culture being prominent, you know, that are compared to the luminaries in the sky, The glowworms are prominent. The atheists, the false yogis, false devotees, false doctrines, those who are propagating false doctrines, they're considered to be like the glowworms. And Prabhupada is saying that instead of taking advantage of that light, we should take advantage of the original, real luminaries in the sky. True Vedic knowledge. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Srimad Bhagavatam. Out of all the 18 Puranas, this is the spotless Purana. This is the literary incarnation of Krishna. Just like in the previous verse, you know, the earth has been emaciated by the summer heat, but she became fully nourished again when moistened by the god of rain. Thus the earth was like a person whose body has been emaciated by austerities undergone for a material purpose, but who again becomes fully nourished when he achieves the fruit of those austerities. So it's demonstrating something, it's teaching something with every, you know, every single thing that happens in Vrindavan Dham. I have practical experience of that also, staying there for so long. You know, Krishna's hand is there everywhere. And it's such a special place. It's actually, Vrindavan is the spiritual world. In Nectar of Instruction, verse 9, Rupa Goswami explains how there's a hierarchy of spiritual abodes. You know, beyond this material universe is the Brahmajyoti, and then you get the Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is there. And then even higher than the abode of Vaikuntha is Dwarka and Ayodhya. Even higher than the abode of Dwarka and Ayodhya, because Krishna is worshipped with awe and reverence in these places. In Vaikuntha is Lord Narayan. You can only have Shantaras and Dasiras. Can't really go beyond that. And then in Dwarka, it's a similar situation. It's the original form of Krishna, but he's the king. So there's that mood of awe and reverence. He's the all-powerful ruler, you know, of Dwarka. And then similar with Ayodhya also. Similar situation. Lord Ramachandra, king of Ayodhya, Ayodhyapati. So he's in a very strong position. Of course, he's always in a strong position. But the relationship between him and his devotees is on that platform of awe and reverence. You know, grandeur, Aishwarya, Aishwarya Bhav. These are Aishwarya Dhams. But even higher than that is when you get closer to the Lord, and you can relate to him a lot more personally. And then things become sweet. Things become a lot more sweet in the relationship. So as you progress further from Dwarka and Ayodhya, you get to Mathura. Now, in Mathura, there's a little bit of a mix there. Of course, you know, Vrajendra Nandan Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. It was Vasudev Krishna who went to Mathura and then Dwarka. You know. But it's still not as Aishwarya-ish as Dwarka. So that's Mathura, and then higher than Mathura. Mathura is higher than Dwarka. Higher than Mathura is Vrindavan. The town of Vrindavan. Now in Sri Vrindavan Dham, the devotees, the Vrajabhasis, the eternal associates of Krishna, they relate to him in a very intimate mood. The cowherd boys and their followers, they have this, you know, friendly relationship with Krishna, Sakya Rasa, Sakya Bhav. and then the elderly members of Vraj, they have this parental mood towards Krishna. So it's very intimate. You know, the coward boys are playing with him, wrestling with him. You know, they're like equals. And then in Vatsalya, it's like, you know, he's a little boy. We need to take care of him. That mood is there, more or less. They're worried. You know, when he goes out, are his feet being hurt by the you know, sharp stones and petals and pebbles and little thorns that are in the forest when he goes out? You know, are his soft lotus feet being hurt by these things? They're wondering, all, you know. He's going to be hungry. We need to feed him something. We need to, you know, pack him something to eat when he goes out. So this mood is there. And then the highest of all, you get the conjugal relationship, you know, embodied by Srimati Radharani and her associates. So this is what's displayed in Vrindavan, Govardhan and Radhakund. You have Vrindavan, even higher than Vrindavan is Govardhan, according to Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction. Even higher is Govardhan, because that's the place where everyone came together. When Indra, you know, did that whole thing with the, you know, Samvartaka cloud and, you know, tried to flood everything for 7 days, he apologized at the end, and, you know, Krishna was, you know, he was actually somewhat happy with him. During the Brahma Vimohan Leela, when Lord Brahma realized his mistake and came and apologized, you know, Krishna was a lot more serious because he actually took his devotees away from him. But in the Govardhan Leela, Indra actually brought everyone together. He brought all of the Vrajavasis, all of Krishna's devotees together in one place. So it was a very special event. So Govardhan is considered to be even on a higher level. And at the foot of Govardhan Hill, we have Shamakund and Radhakund. Radhakund and Shamakund, which are considered to be the topmost spiritual abodes in the entire universe. Radhakund is considered to be liquid prema. The water of Radhakund is considered to be liquid prema. Every year we celebrate the appearance of Radhakund about 6 or 7 days after the beginning of Kartik. Today is actually Ram Vijayotsav, the day that Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana. And on this day, the 24-hour kirtan in Sri Vrindavan Dham at Krishna Balaram Mandir started. So I always remember this day as 6 days before Kartik starts. And 6 days after Kartik, we celebrate Bahulashtami, the appearance day of Radhakund. And everyone goes there, takes a bath. There's a Muhurta, Tithi. Most people go at midnight. It's become more and more crowded over the years, so crowded. It's basically becoming a stampede. But you can also go during the daytime also, as long as the bathing time is still there. You still get the same benefit. We would go there with Ayendra Prabhu every year, do kirtan for 2 hours at Raghunath Das Goswami Samadhi near his Bhajan Kutir, and then after that we would go down and take bath in Radhakund. 10 to 12 kirtan, and then 12 midnight take bath, and then somehow go back. There's some controversy also whether the actual appearance of Radhakund is on Bahulashtami. Some say that the appearance of Radhakund is more towards the spring season. In Sri Vrindavan Dham also, you get 1,000 times the benefit for any devotional service that you perform. And during Kartik, you get 1,000 times the benefit of any devotional service you perform. So if you're in the holy Dham of Sri Vrindavan Dham during Kartik, you get 1,000,000 times the benefit of your devotional service. 1,000 times 1,000. It's a very special place. That Vrindavan, which is eternally existing in the spiritual world, is here on this planet. It's manifested here. And we can easily take advantage of that by going there. We should go regularly, once a year, twice a year, if you can. And, you know, we can see how the holy name and the holy Dham are related. Nam and Dham are actually related. You know, by this verse, you could see how, you know, this situation of the clouds covering the luminaries and other things are being, you know, prominently displayed. You know, this is very much like the analogy that Haridas Thakur gives about the holy name and the sun that I had mentioned earlier. You know, we have these clouds of anarthas and mist of ignorance, all these dirty things in the heart, demons within the heart. You know, these demons become prominent. You know, the glowworms, these are the demons. You know, sense objects, material prosperity, material grandeur, these are like the glowworms that become prominent when we're covered by these clouds of anarthas and mist of ignorance. Now, by taking shelter of the spiritual master and chanting the holy name properly, then gradually the sun of the holy name shines through. It moves the clouds aside, and that becomes the prominent shining force. And then the glowworm's power is not very much anyway. So that kind of takes a back seat. And the prominent thing in your life becomes devotional service to the Lord, which is actually all blissful. We think that we can get some pleasure by some material activity, material prosperity, sense gratification, but actually, it's considered to be like a drop of water in the desert. We're looking for that ocean of happiness, ocean of bliss, you know, ever expanding, anandam buddhi vardhanam, right? But it's not here, it's not in the material world, actually. We have to realize that gradually, it takes time. You know, because we are spirit, we're not matter, so we can't actually enjoy matter. Material enjoyment is on the material platform. So we have to look beyond the glowworms of material enjoyment and actually see what is the real light. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for blessing us with your presence in Chicago once again. I believe this is your third time, maybe. You made a lot of wonderful points, especially the government of Russia thought they were in control. I'm God. You know, why are you going to God for your daily bread? Come to us, Prabhupada would say. And same in the scriptures, we see that there's many atheists who are openly atheists, like Hirani Kashipu. One thing I learned from these past times is that we see that Hiranyakashipu, he considered himself the supreme controller because he thought he had control over who lives and who dies. But when he couldn't kill Prahlad, he still thought he was the supreme controller, unfortunately. But Prahlada essentially told Hiranyakashipu, my dear father, you may be a king, but you are not the king. You may be a controller, but you are not the controller. Lord Vishnu is the supreme controller. Therefore, I worship him and not you. So my question is regarding an obstacle we may face in our devotional life is that we may criticize atheists for being in control or trying to be the supreme controller. But we see you mentioned that Lord Indra's pastime of Govardhan Hill, he also thought he had control over who lives and who dies when he tried to kill the residents of Vrindavan. Now, in our devotional practices, we may not try to kill others, but sometimes we have the tendency, let me try to kill others' reputation according to my estimation of what they did right and wrong. So,
which is also under the category of Hriday Durbalya.
Weakness of heart, yeah, exactly. Like I was thinking about that, what you said. So my question is that how can we give up this two part of the question, how can we give up this hypocrisy of criticizing others? Oh, you're trying to be the supreme controller, but then we're doing the same thing. And also how not to become discouraged from our own hypocrisy. Like sometimes people allow that to depress them. I'm such a bad person. When somebody's glorified more than me, I may not act according to my envy, but I'm so miserable. And so sometimes people's anarthas depress them, and therefore they're not able to move forward, you know, with their spiritual life. So how can we not, you know, become depressed of our anarthas? And how can we give up the tendency that, you know, or have the notion that, oh, I'm also trying to be a controller too, kind of a two-part. I'm not sure if you understood, but maybe you could share some points.
Yeah, so, you know, luckily our acharyas have given us instructions on how a Vaishnava should live and how his mood and mentality should be, right? So, you know, you'll see that even many devotees who are practicing for many years, they have a tendency to find fault and criticize. It's like it's a really bad habit that they'll have, you know? And that's really not good. That destroys, you know, our own devotional service to do that. Of course, it is important, though, to, you know, see things as they are and understand that, you know, okay, this is wrong. What this is happening is wrong. You know, if something is not right, you have to know that, okay, this is not right. This is what not to do. That, you know, there should be some discrimination there. You know, so, okay, they're atheists and this is what they're doing and this is not right. You don't have to necessarily, you know, go off criticizing them and, you know, pointing fingers and all that. But at least we should know that, you know, we should understand right from wrong. That discrimination should be there, you know, and act accordingly. You know, the acharyas have given Vaishnav Sadachar, how a devotee should act with others, how he should behave with others. He should be non-envious. When you criticize others out of envy, that's one thing. When you just, you know, kind of understand something that, okay, this is not right and this should be avoided, this activity should be avoided by me, by other devotees, and I should not associate with such and such. That's one thing, that's fine. But in general, we should not be envious of anyone and should always maintain a humble attitude towards everyone. All Vaishnavas, and, you know, all living entities. You know, that'll really help us. That'll help to maintain that humility, because, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you know, Trinadapi suni chena tororapi suvishnana manida manidena kirtaniya sadahari. So by, you know, having that mood that you know, I'm lower than a straw on the street, you know. You know, I should be tolerant, more tolerant than a tree, you know, devoid of all sense of false prestige. In this way, in this mindset, we can actually chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, which is our main practice, actually. You know, but also humility is also known as standing up and doing what is right, also. So when you see something wrong, then you should still have the intelligence to understand this is not right, this is wrong, this should be avoided. the atheistic governments that are doing all of this nonsense, they're doing a wrong thing. That is true. Prabhupada is also pointing that out. So that should be understood. But at the same time, you know, we understand the bigger picture that, okay, this person that's ruling the country or whatever is under the influence of the modes of material nature. He is actually originally a pure spirit soul. Originally a devotee of Krishna, you can say. Ultimately, everyone, every living entity is an eternal servant of Krishna. But when they come in contact with the material energy, they become covered. So some people become covered, you know, so much so that, you know, this mentality becomes very prominent. And they become demoniac, like Hiranyakashipu, like Ravana. You know, Ravana wanted to steal Lord Ramachandra's wife, you know. You'll see, sometimes that is there, even sometimes in devotees. They want to, you know, enjoy others' wives or they want to dominate everything, you know, be in control. They think they're the supreme controller, you know. So these demons are also within us to some extent, you know. Maybe there, I can't speak for anyone else, but generally these demoniac tendencies are there to a certain extent. Like Ravana represents lusty desires. He's the embodiment of lusty desires. He wanted to enjoy Sita, so he kidnapped her. Of course, he kidnapped the mayic form of her, not the original Sita. But he thought he got Sita. And Lord Ramachandra killed him. You know, it took a while. There was a little, you know, Leela in between. Of course, he could have just finished him off, but, you know, just for the fun of it and, you know, to display his pastimes. There's a little storyline there. So, in the end, he ended up finishing him. He killed him. Right? And normally on this day, we have a huge, some places, many places, they do this, a huge effigy of Ravana. And they burn it, the devotees burn it. They shoot an arrow, and it sets on fire, and they watch the burning flame of Ravana just Ravana being destroyed. This form of Ravana represents lust, the material desire of lust, you know, material lust. And by watching the effigy of Ravana burning, this is one thing that Ayendra Prabhu told me one time. By seeing the effigy of Ravana burning, the lusty desires within our heart, they also get burned. Because it represents that. The lusty desires are being burnt up. Ram is killing that lusty desire within our heart. The holy name also acts in the same way. The holy dham also acts in the same way. Srimad Bhagavatam also acts in the same way. To purify the heart, purify these demons from our heart. It's all material contamination that blocks our progress to the ultimate goal. It's unwanted, anartha. But ultimately, you know, we don't focus too much on anartha nivritti. Rather, we focus on artha pravritti, which means positive, you know, positive cultivation of devotional service. You know, we avoid sinful activities, you know, the four regulative principles are there. And we engage ourselves in the positive activities of devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, you know, worshipping the deity. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam and Shastra, and these are positive things. That it's like the milk that drives out the ink. You have ink in a cup, you put milk in it, and it automatically, you don't have to worry about cleaning out the ink, you know. All you have to do is pour the good stuff in there. You pour the good stuff in, the bad stuff automatically, you know. So by this chanting process, you know, the anarthas become clear. You don't have to go too much in detail. Oh, you know, let me try to pull this out, uproot this thing, because you won't be able to do it. You may have a tendency. Let's say, for example, there are people that are addicted to smoking, right? Smoking or drinking. They have this addiction. So, you know, there are many programs for trying to, let's say, kill this tendency. But it's hard because it's a deep-rooted anartha that's there that they have. And they try to uproot it somehow. But you can't really be fully successful because the seed of sinful desire is still there. Only bhakti can, the process of devotional service can purify that. You know, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, by reading, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. You know. Hridyantastah yabhadrani vidunoti suhitsatam, right? Shrinvata swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana. Hridyantastah, whatever in the heart. Hridyantastah. Abhadrani is inauspicious things, such as the anarthas. Hridyantastha yabhadrani vidunoti suhritsatam, becomes cleansed by hearing. Shrinvata swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana. By these things, the anarthas go out. And how do you successfully perform hearing and chanting? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says very clearly, Trinadapi Sunichena, you know, you keep that humble attitude, which means not trying to find fault with everyone, you know, criticizing everyone, finding this fault, that fault, just simply, you know, trying to bash everyone out of envy and false ego and all these things. Very bad. It'll destroy your devotional service by doing these things. Not to say that you should not, like I said, you know, understand what is right and what is wrong. Because that is also important. We should be very respectful towards those who are more advanced than us, try to hear from them, learn from them. Those who are equal, we be non-envious and make friendships. And to those who are junior, we try to help them. And those who are envious, we avoid. Those who are demoniac, we avoid. We, you know, just regard them from a distance and avoid them. So. There's a verse in the 11th canto that particularly says that this is what we should do. Can't remember exactly which verse, but I've gone through it. Can find it. But this is like a known fact of how we should act, how the Madhyamadhikari particularly behaves. People. He avoids the envious. He is merciful to the junior, to the less advanced. Friends with the equals, non-envious, and very respectful and submissive to the more advanced. Formula for success. Is that okay? Did that answer your questions? Okay. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Really enjoyed your class. I feel like you painted a picture of Vrindavan. I've never been there, but hopefully someday. Anyways, my question is, you had mentioned that by serving the spiritual master and properly chanting the holy name, then the glowworms become destroyed, essentially. But my question is on properly chanting the holy name. Seemingly I'm trying to put more emphasis on this in my life, and I'm wondering if you have any tips, because I can be chanting, but there can be like a train of thoughts and wanting to do certain things and desires and actions, and the holy name is just like background noise, you know. I'm not really hearing the mantra. So I was wondering if you have any experience of how one properly chants the holy name.
Yeah. my spiritual master, Pujyapad, His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj, who is also very advanced in, extremely advanced in chanting the holy name. One thing that he said once really it really stuck to me. And when I tried it, it worked. He explained how when you chant, there's a process, a conscious process. The sound vibration goes from your tongue to your ears. From your ear, it should go into your heart. And then the soul should actually be chanting. You need to actually chant with your soul. I mean, we are the spirit soul. So instead of, you know, it being like a mechanical process, you know, we're saying something with our mouth, but then, you know, mind and heart are somewhere else. You know, you're not really putting your feeling into it, your heart into it. You know, your actual conscious self is not really there. You know, you're just mouthing off and the mind is taking you all over the place. Instead of that, just really try to chant the holy name. It means you should be chanting. Not that your body is, simply your body is chanting. The soul should be chanting. Otherwise, there's no question of actually have been, there's no question that you've actually chanted the holy name. In one sense, you haven't chanted the holy name if your soul hasn't chanted the holy name. So the soul and the super soul make a connection there. You know. So if you really try to be conscious of that, you know, being attentive while chanting, actually inattentiveness is the root cause of all other offenses, all the other 10 offenses. So it's really important to be attentive while chanting. And it helps because obviously, you know, the mind will think different things. So what should you think about? Think about Krishna. You know, what have you heard about Krishna? What have you read about Krishna? You know, what would you like to do for Krishna? Ultimately, in the spiritual realm, we'll be doing seva, service. You can think about what type of service you would like to do for Krishna. You know, you can engage your mind in this way. It also really helps to meditate on the meaning of each and every syllable of the mantra, of the Maha Mantra. Understanding the mantra that you're chanting, you know, to the extent that you understand what you're chanting, gives success. In other words, when you understand a Vedic mantra and you chant it, you can actually attain success in chanting that mantra, more so than if you don't really understand. You get benefit, but you get more benefit when you actually understand it. Just like with the Gayatri mantra, it's the same thing. When you understand, when you're meditating on, okay, what does this mean? What does that mean? You're actually imbibing it in your consciousness. You can actually feel something more than if you just like, you know, kind of let it run in your head. So it's the same thing with chanting the Maha Mantra also. You know, Hare. What does Hare mean? First of all, what does it mean? Who is it addressing? You know, who is that personality? What does she do? Where does she live? What does she like to eat? You know, what's her service in relation to Krishna? What's her relationship? You know, what's my connection to her? Harati means to, Hare comes from the word Harati, which means to steal. So Srimati Radharani steals Krishna's mind, steals his attention. He can't think of anything else because, you know, she's so, this is a, it's a conjugal mantra actually. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a conjugal relationship, Radharani and Krishna. You know, Radharani is so attractive and wonderful that, you know, Krishna just can't think of anything else, anyone else. She literally steals his mind. So, Harati, Hare. That Radharani who steals the attention of Krishna. And what does Krishna mean? Last night, Hari Parashada Prabhu was giving class and he mentioned that Krishna has two meanings. It's true. one who has a darkish complexion, but primarily the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. And what does Krishna mean? Krishna, of course, many people say Krishna means black, and that's true, dark. You know, Krishna has a darkish complexion. But it also means one who attracts, Krish, Akarshan, Krish means to attract. And Na denotes ananda or bliss. One who attracts you from the illusory so-called bliss of the material world and gives you the eternal bliss of the spiritual world. Krishna. And therefore you Na, you reject the pleasure of the illusory energy. Krishna. So he's attracting you and he's blissful, Na, and the Na also means, these are some of the meanings given by various acharyas. Mahanidhi Maharaj had noted these things down in his book, The Art of Chanting Hare Krishna. You can read more about it. And then Rama is the reservoir of all pleasure. When we chant Hare, we are indicating that we want Srimati Radharani to engage us in her service and in Krishna's service. She's the ultimate sevak, the ultimate inspiration for all varieties of devotional service. So when we want service, like here in the temple, if you want service, you have to go to the person who is in charge of the Didi department, or you go to the temple president and ask, what service can I do? Temple president is the main sevak of the temple. He or she engages everyone. Right? So the ultimate temple president is Srimati Radharani. She engages everyone. So when we chant Hare, we're addressing Srimati Radharani, that please engage me in Krishna's service. And how can I serve you? By serving Krishna. Rama can refer to, according to Srila Prabhupada, he says that there are three Rams: Ramachandra, Parashuram, and Balaram. So it can refer to Balaram, it can refer to Lord Ramachandra, but the original Swarup of the Mahamantra is Radharani and Krishna. So Rama also refers to Krishna, actually. Rama is Krishna, Radhika Raman Ram. So think about that. One who gives pleasure to Radharani. Radharani is stealing Krishna's attention. And, you know, when they meet, he's giving pleasure to Srimati Radharani, Rama. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama can also refer to a combination of Radharani and Krishna also, according to some of our acharyas. Ra, Radharani. Ma, Madhusudan. I think that might have been Dhyan Chandra Goswami, one of them, who gave this conception. Rama. So you can meditate on these things. You know, actually, there should be some conscious, Krishna consciousness, right? There should be some consciousness there. We should be doing it consciously, not just mechanically. And it helps, it really helps the consciousness to chant in a place where Krishna had his pastimes. Of course, you never know what pastime happened here. We don't know of anything. But, in Sri Vrindavan Dham, in the Holy Dham, Sri Navadev Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham. Chanting in the Dham gives a lot of benefit. The temple is also a Dham. Actually, the temple is the spiritual world. There's a verse, I can pull it up. So chanting in the temple is very beneficial. Let's see if I can. the sacred lakes like Pushkar and places where saintly persons live, like Kurukshetra, Gaya, Prayag, Pula Ashrama, Naimisharanya, etc., etc. All of these are to be considered most pious and sacred. Similarly, places outside India, where there are centers of the Krishna consciousness movement and where Radha Krishna deities are worshipped, must all be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced. One who intends to advance in spiritual life may visit all these places and perform ritualistic ceremonies to get results 1,000 times better than the results of the same activities performed in any other place. This is the translation to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, text number 30 to 33. So Prabhupada says that you actually get 1,000 times the benefit by doing devotional service outside of India, in places where the deities of Radha and Krishna are being worshipped, like his temples. So this is a very special place. That Tulsi room is extremely spiritually surcharged. It's recommended to chant with Tulsi, next to Tulsi Maharani. It has, you know, great effect. Last night, myself and Gokulanand Prabhu were chanting japa together in the next to Tulsi Maharani, and you know, you could feel it. It was very surcharged. So you can do that also. That helps. That's all I can think of right now. Maybe later, something will come up. Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.